Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Good evening. Good to see you all here. Let's do our Bible. This is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. It refreshes me. It strengthens me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this time together and for the word you have prepared for these sweet people. We just trust the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts right where they need to be enlightened about your word. And they leave tonight with something so sweet and wonderful added to them because your word is so wonderful and the Spirit of God is just so precious. And I thank you, Lord. He is welcome in this place and he's moving and he's teaching it through me tonight, I trust, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are going to share, I'm going to share tonight on the title of my message is A Time to Heal. And I take it out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to heal is verse 3, a time to heal. And so I thought, I'm a person who looks up definitions out of the text and the original text, and that word time means now. And it makes such sense because now is when we need healing. When we leave this place and we're in heaven someday, there will be no need for healing there because it's a perfect place and free from everything bad, and we will have no sickness there. So now is the time that we need healing. The word heal is the word rapha, which is their word for doctor or physician, and it means to cure, to heal, repair, mend, and restore to health. So your situation will fit in one of those. So cure is always a good one, and actually all of the definitions that are attached to the word heal or healing or healed in the scripture has cure in it. So a cure is a finished work, like you're done with that. You don't have to be concerned about that anymore. So we are thankful it's possible, and we trust that you're learning in here how to walk in that place where you're cured anytime the enemy brings something against you. So let's look at Psalm 23, familiar psalm to us all. And I wanted to look at verse 5 first, and then we'll go to verse 1 in a minute. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And there again, in the presence of my enemies, that's on this earth. Because we don't have enemies in heaven. We have the enemy of our soul is the devil. So he's against us, but we know that this is talking about now. He's prepared a table. Prepared is the word make ready. So the Lord has made ready a table filled with all kinds of good things for our lives that he has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus rose victorious for us. Everything he did was a substitutionary work for our lives, that we could live free and whole and supplied and a good life, because that's what the Bible says. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's not just a get-by supply. Abundant is over and above. It's more than we need. And that's always a good thing. We have more healing we can share with others. Say, hey, I know the healer. He healed me and he can heal you too. We have financial blessing. Hey, I'm supplied well and I want to help you. I mean, so that's the way of the Christian. That's the way of the family of God. We receive and we give. And healing is a wonderful thing to have in your possessions so you can help people, because there are so many people that need healing. And Jesus wants them free. He came to set captives free. And sickness is a captivity to disease and things against our body that he wants us set free from. But it's a table that's full. It's plenty for everyone. Jesus called healing and deliverance the children's bread. So that makes sense. On the table, there's healing bread. And I don't know if you like baked bread. I do. I have to kind of stay away from it because I love hot bread with butter on it. And we can look at the healing of God as something so delicious like that. It's there for us to take. It's prepared for us, and it's ready. It's ready for us to take in and enjoy. And it's already ours. He's already prepared it, and it belongs to us. It's the children's bread. It's ours. It belongs to us. And it's up to us to learn about it. And you're learning about it and hear. You're hearing the scriptures. You're hearing his will here for about healing. And he wants you to receive it and partake of it all the time, not just haphazard. He wants us to live in that place of victory where our health is concerned. Let's look at verse 1 of Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. In the Young's literal translation, it's from the original Hebrew text. It says, "I do not lack because the Lord is my shepherd." We don't lack. There's nothing that we has been refused for our needs of our lives and our well-being. It's a full supply, but we don't lack. We are not to lack. The Bible says he's given us richly all things to enjoy, and that he has supplied us with an abundant life. As I said, the more abundant is, as you look that word up, it's superabounding, superabundant. So that should make us happy, because this is what's on the table for us. And what we get to do is go and get it and enjoy it. But he's daily loads of the benefits. Do you see benefits in your life? Every day we have benefits that we need to be thankful for and recognize. This is the hand of God, because every good gift comes from him. If it's something bad and negative and oppressive, that is not God. That is not our Father. He's a good Father. He's a good, good Father. And the Word calls Jesus the Good Shepherd. So the good things come from him, and he has it for us. He's such a personal God, too. That's one of the amazing things about the Lord. Oh, he knows it all. He knows when you're in that place, a certain day of like, phew, I need something extra today, Lord. And we all get those places, I know. And he's got the answer. As we look to him, we focus on him and on his word, he'll lift us up. But it's daily benefits, and healing is one. God's way of operation, so to speak, is that he provides all good things with his love for us, and then it's our responsibility to take possession of it. We are to possess what he has prepared, and possessing is, it just means it's to take hold of it, to lay hold of it, to seize it. In another definition of possess is enjoy. The definition of possess, as I studied it, it's an inheritance, and he wants us to enjoy. So he paid such a price for us to enjoy life. Jesus did. He paid an awesome price. We just got through celebrating Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, and what it took for him to go through everything he went through for us. I mean, it just overwhelms you, and it makes us so thankful and so just in awe of his love for us and his care for his children. And he wants each of us. We are so personally loved. I love how Pastor has started having us put our hand on us and saying, "I am loved." And he loves us. And when he does that in church, we'll follow through. It'll get stronger and stronger in you, because there are some days you think, "I just feel so unloved today." We all get there, but we are not unloved. He loves us, and we need to have that so firm in us and believe it and receive it for our lives every day. But an example in Scripture of the possessing, I thought this was interesting, in Numbers 33, 53, it says, "You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land." They were coming out of Egyptian bondage, of slavery. The children of Israel were coming out of Egyptian bondage and slavery. And the Lord had a land ready for them, flowing with milk and honey. And they were supposed to go in and take it. And boy, they just messed up. They believed a bad report when the spies went in to to spy out the land, 12 spies, 10 came back with a bad report, and they did not go in. They had to walk in that desert place for 40 years. But the ones that came back with a good report, Caleb and Joshua, got to go in and possess the land. But he says, I have given you the land to possess it. It was already theirs. You have to possess it. You go in and possess it. And he was going to go with them. And he was going to fight their battles with them, and he was going to move the enemy out of the way so they could take the land that he had given them. It was already theirs. And I want you to see that healing is already yours. So our position is possessing it, just like they had to. This is God's way. He provides, but he expects something of us. He expects us to believe, we have faith, and to be doers of the commands in the Word of God and take possession of what he has given us. He doesn't want a bunch of spoiled little brats running around. That's what a kid that gets everything they want just the minute they want it. That's not good. God's a good father. He's a father that handles his family right. But in Deuteronomy, multiple times they were reminded of their responsibility to take possession of the land. And in Deuteronomy 1:8 it says, see, I have set the land before you. He has set healing before you. It's on the table. And he said, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And possessing the land was their responsibility. Possessing your healing is your responsibility. You take it by faith. There's times in Scripture we know that Jesus would say, according to your faith, be it unto you. As you have believed, be it unto you. Or your faith has made you well. Jesus is the same. He hasn't changed. He requires, God is the same as he was back here when we're talking about the need for them to possess something that he has already given them. And I'm sure that they really regretted. They regretted their unbelief and not getting to go in because they died out in the wilderness. The 10 spies with the Bible calls it an evil report. It was a poor report of unbelief. That doesn't please the Lord. That does not please the Lord at all. And we would see Jesus in certain situations. He would say, where's your faith? Why don't you have any faith? It was really hard for him, I'm sure. Because I've dealt with people before and wanted to help them, and you see zero faith, and you just go, this is hard, Lord. It's hard to deal with people who won't believe. It really is, because you know that God has something so good for all of us. He has answers. He has something so good in his word for all of us, for any situation we go through. And the healing is available, and it's already yours. Jesus bought it and paid for it when he went to the cross and had the scourging on his back. He took care of your healing for you. It's yours. So what we need is faith to go in and possess it. And so I pray that that's what you're getting in this class. And it's a real honor to believe God and see him move in your life in such a powerful way. It just, the moving of the Lord upon your life when you have sickness and it lifts is like, it's miraculous and it's beautiful. And he wants all of us to experience that. But the possessing, again, it means to seize or lay hold, inherit and enjoy. And that's what he has for us. He has enjoyment for us the scriptures of taking what belongs to us with healing and freedom, deliverance, whatever situation you're in. Sometimes you just need something removed from your life that's available in God. He has it all to set you free. Jesus came to set captives free. I want to share a little story. Some of you may have already heard this, but I thought it fit right here, and it just came to me to share it tonight. But it's a story by a man named Doc Horton. He was born in 1921, so this is a few years ago. But he was a minister. He was a teacher of the Word of God, and he was a man of faith. But he shared a story, and the family that he was from, this is a true account, the family he was from had, there were 13 children. And when they had their meals, the kids sat on benches on the sides of long tables. We had a big family. I grew up, I was number 9 of 10 children. And we had those benches that we sat on because you couldn't get all those chairs around a table. You had to have benches, and that's what these kids were sitting on, just to set a stage for you to kind of get a picture of what this is. And his mama made wonderful biscuits that all the kids loved. The biscuits would be placed on a platter on that long table. And the biscuits belonged to every member of that family. I mean, they were there for the taking. Anybody who wanted one. But when it got down to the last biscuit, the only way you could get it was to lay claim of it on it. You couldn't ask for it to be passed to you, or you couldn't jump up and go get it. The only way you could enjoy that biscuit was to say, thank you for the biscuit, and that biscuit was yours. Even though the biscuit was at the other end of the table, not in your hand, it was yours. The brothers and the sisters that were to pass it down, the plate down to you to the end of that table, couldn't touch it because they knew it was yours. It was his. He laid claim to it. And that was the case with any of the kids that saw the last biscuit and said, thank you for the biscuit. And it was theirs. They laid claim to it. Their name was on that biscuit, so to speak. So the plate was passed down, and he said the family had the right to that biscuit because he didn't have a right to that biscuit because he had said thank you. It was his, and he laid claim to it. His name was on it, so to speak. Before he had taken possession of it, the biscuit belonged to him, and that's what I want you to see. This was on a table, and as we have, God has prepared that table for you. It has healing bread on it. It has your biscuit on it. And that's what I want you to see. If you lay claim to your biscuit, your healing, it's going to be yours before it gets in your hand. And he knew that biscuit was his. He wasn't worried. He knew there was a rule in the family. He wasn't concerned somebody else was going to take it. He knew it was his. So that's what I just want to share this story with you because it has a kind of a little, you know, commonality of the bread and the biscuit. So just realize that they're on that table that the Lord has prepared, like Proverbs 23:5 says, your name is on your healing. And you can say, thank you for my healing, Lord. That's my biscuit. Even before you see it, before you taste it, the results of healing in your body, you can claim it before you even, you know, realize any symptoms gone from you. And that's what God wants us to do, to really know that it's already been prepared, it's already yours, and if you lay claim to it with your faith, it's yours. Know that healing is yours. It belongs to you. And that's what we preach in here all the time. It's yours. Healing belongs to you. And even before you realize it in your body, before you realize any symptoms off of you, if you claim the healing of God and take possession of it with your faith, God's faithful to cause it to produce the freedom in your life from any sickness and any disease that you're going through. And if you have something in your body tonight, you can name your biscuit. She's like, okay, that biscuit is, you know, whatever disease or sickness you're dealing with. But I lay claim to my freedom from that because it's on the table and it's mine. It's mine. It belongs to me. I may not have it manifested in my body, but you have to receive it first. You have to possess it with your faith first. And then once that biscuit got down to him, he enjoyed eating it. But it was his before it got into his hands. And healing is yours before it gets into your hands. Before you see anything change in your body, as you receive it and take possession of it and take it off God's table, it's yours. And God will watch over that word and he will perform the miracle of healing in your body. So take your biscuit, take hold of it, take possession of it. I just wanted to bring out that as the three of us teach in here, we have tasted of that bread over and over and over. and it's delicious. It is such a delicious bread. There's nothing like healing. It's so wonderful. It is so, it's hard to describe because it's such an experience of freedom, of the love of God just given to you with relieving you of pain or relieving you from something really, really serious. I know all of us have had some really serious things in our bodies, and as we took hold of that precious healing, and those things lifted off of us, there's no words. It's precious, and we want y'all to experience that too, because the word is food. It is bread, and it feeds us. It feeds our spirits, but it relieves us. That healing bread relieves us of all the pain, all the misery, and cures and sets us free. Jesus came to set the captives free. Grab a hold of tonight. I ask you to just grab a hold of this truth. Healing is yours. It's yours to possess. It's on the table for you. Your biscuit is there for you to take and enjoy before you even, like I said, even have any evidence of it in your possession. It's yours, and we take it by faith. There is a sea snail called a limpet. I don't know if anybody know anything about sea stuff. A limpet. It is a sea snail that has a grip that they say it attaches itself to a boulder in the water, and you cannot beat it off with a baseball bat. It will not let go. It will not let go. So I want us to know, I want us to get that in us. Like, I'm going to grab a hold of the word. I'm going to grab a hold of this truth tonight that I have that healing on that table for me, and it's mine to take, and I will not let go of that truth. I will not let go of the healing promises that God has given us, the provision. I'm just going to hold on like that limpet. So do that. Grab a hold of it like that. Nobody's getting it off of me. Nobody's getting it from me. If anybody tries to discourage you where healing is concerned, say, no, I'm holding on. I will not let go. I know some years ago, my sister tells us an occasion that happened. They were driving out in the country, and they were going, to one little area, and they spent the night. We're going to spend the night. But on the way there, driving through the country, they passed a house. And there was a pit bull dog hanging on a rope that had a hunk of meat on it, hanging under a tree, I guess. And it was just, his mouth was clenching that piece of meat. And so they went to wherever they were going. They spent the night there, and they came back the next day. And she said, the pit bull was still hanging on to that piece of meat. It wouldn't let go. And I thought, there, the limpet. Sea snail and the pit bull, let's hang on, let's grab a hold of healing, let's grab a hold of the word of God and not let go. Devil, you're not getting this from me. You are not taking the promises of God and the provision that God has for me. I refuse it, because the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And one of his devices is to discourage you, to bring fear to you, to cause you to doubt. And those things we have got to recognize and say, that is from the devil, and I'm not letting it happen to me. Absolutely not. And just hold on. Just be like that sea snail and that pit bull. I'm grabbing hold of this, and I'm not letting loose. And God won't fail you. He will not fail you. He is faithful to watch over his word to perform it. All right, the scriptures. Oh, how wonderful they are. Last week, Derek, if you weren't here, I asked him to make some more copies of this. If you didn't get a copy of this, I'm going to ask you, you want to pass these out, Derek? These are scriptures that he spent a lot of time getting together for this class. So if you didn't get this, just take advantage of it. These are outstanding. It's just like a treasure trove, a treasure chest of healing, scriptures and truths. And I want you to have them and get them in you and begin to really get this word in you so strong that it just absolutely cannot be beaten out of you like that baseball bat. Like, no, this is the truth. God's word is truth. And I am not going to let go. I will not quit. I'm not quitting. God's word is true. And he has provided healing. These scriptures are outstanding. And I'll just kind of mention some of them. I encourage you, don't just look at these. He gives a little definition beside each one. But look them up. I would encourage you to write them down. This will fill in a small little journal. It's worth it. Put some effort into this. If you put effort into this and be diligent to do this, you will not be disappointed. Your faith will grow. You will get so ingrained in the things of God and so attached and just that word will just become so much a part of you that it's just kind of, it's just there. When sickness would try to attach itself to you, that healing will just, scripture will just rise up and like, oh no, that doesn't belong to me. This is what the Bible says. This is what God's word says. And this is truth. Ooh, I'm sorry. Oh, did I make that point loud enough? I forget that's there. But this is truth. Those lies from the devil saying, you know, you just might as well accept this sickness. You just might as well put up to this. This is what you're going to have this. That's a lie. This is the truth. This is such rich, rich just food for our spirit and for our faith. So just take advantage of this. I mean, it's going to be worth it. To continue to feed on it and get it so in your heart that it becomes a part of you, part of your spirit. And faith will come because faith comes from the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. As teachers in this class, it's our responsibility to study and get messages for you from the word of God. It's your responsibility to listen, to believe, and to do some extra study yourself. Is something that you have, it's your responsibility. God did not give us anything that is impossible for us to do. If he tells us we need to do this in order to get strong in faith, from the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. This is true. We have to have that word over and over and over, not just coming into this class for a little while. This class is going to be over in a couple of weeks. One more teaching class and then we'll offer prayer for people. So, hey, but you have plenty. Take this and keep it with you all summer and get so full of the word of God that you just become powerhouses. Just, you know, those mighty men of God, mighty women of God. It's possible. Joshua 1:8, such an amazing scripture if you have your Bible. Did I write? I don't think I typed that out for you. Joshua is one of them that went over into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua. Caleb is really, I mean, they're both just mighty men of God. They wholly followed the Lord, the Bible says. But Caleb's my favorite. Because when he was my age, he said, I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. So he said, I'm strong to go in and go out and for war. I thought, well, whatever the war part means, we do fight a fight of faith, and that's our warfare. But Caleb and Joshua were men of faith. But in verse 8 of Joshua 1, you can tell, okay, Joshua, he had to do this in order to be strong and to continue to lead this people into the promised land because Moses gave him God gave him the responsibility, but Moses left it at him as a leader over the people of Israel. Verse 8 says, this book of the law, or we could say this Bible for us, the word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Then, after you meditate this word, and it gives you a key for what meditation is, it shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate. This meditating has got to be in your mouth. And it is a repeating the scripture out loud, repeating the scripture, pondering it, thinking about it, and going, you know, making it a very consistent with your you're thinking about it, and you're muttering it, saying it over and over again. And that's what you'll do with these, as you meditate these scriptures on this page that we gave you. Meditate them. You know, take one a week, or if one just really resonates with you at one time, just study it and think about it and repeat it. And the Spirit of God will reveal things to you, because he said in his word in Corinthians, he said, the Spirit of God knows the things of God, and he will reveal those things to our spirit. He will give us revelation, things that you haven't seen before. And wow, that's an honor for the Spirit of God to reveal the things of God to you personally, because he is a personal God to you. He knows what you need. He knows exactly what's going to encourage you and give you just a lift, so to speak. And that's priceless. I mean, our connection, our relationship with the Lord is up here. It doesn't come down here. It's first. He's first. And then all other things come underneath that. Put him first. Love him first. And have this love of his word first. And you'll be a changed person. And your faith will grow. But we are to prosper. And that means make progress. We want to make progress. So we will prosper and have success. And we all want to have success and progress. We don't want to stay in the same place. This is all in all of us. We were made to be winners. We were made to be winners, and we want to win. But we have to meditate scripture, and we have to do it. James 1:22 says, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We just don't take scriptures and say, oh, that's nice. Just read over it. Do what the word says to do. Be doers of the word of God, and you will become more and more aware of the Lord in your life and his personal care for you and his personal input into your existence. The Bible says if we trust in him with all of our heart and don't lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. Acknowledge him. Say, Lord, I'm on this healing journey, so to speak. I acknowledge you. Show me which scripture you need for me to meditate on today. And he will lead you to one, and it will become so rich in you, and it will become so much a part of you that you just want to shout for joy. It's thrilling. The word is thrilling. Praise God. But it's a daily day, and we meditate in it day and night. In my center reference of my Bible, it says, you shall constantly be in the word. That's good advice. Constantly be in the word. On this, I just wanted to glance at a few of these on Derek's page. The first 18 have to do with the support of the truth that God has provided healing through Christ for all of us. It's a provision that is for every one of us, and it's part of his plan for our lives. And it's on the table. It's on that table. It's bread. Come and get it. Come and dine. Come and dine. Did anybody ever hear that song, Come and Dine? The Master calleth, come and dine. Come and feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. It's open. It's like, come eat. Come eat at this table. Take this bread of healing. Take this bread of provision in every area of your life. If you need wisdom, hey, the table has it. Derek's page, let me see, 1 through 18, just a few of them. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he has really the three scriptures that I received when I first was born again and learned about healing. I received healing from these three scriptures constantly. Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:16-17, and 1 Peter 2:24. It just talks about the work of the cross and what Jesus did at Calvary. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And just that Jesus healed all. He healed every sickness and every disease. This is just something that would just really get healing so established in you that you're just ready. You're ready. When the enemy tries to come in, put something on
you're ready. It's like, nuh-uh, that doesn't belong to me. This is what belongs to me. This is my bread. Proverbs 4:20 is another group of scriptures that we bring out often in our healing classes. We have for many years. It's just good advice. Verse 20 of Proverbs 4, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Midst of your heart. Midst of your heart. That's where meditation does. It gets it in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Is that good news or what? Oof. This word will change you. I know I heard a true incident of a woman who had a serious heart condition. And the doctor told her, just go home. Don't do anything for, I don't know how many days. He told her, just rest. You don't do anything. No housework, nothing. So what she did was take healing scriptures. She had a CD of healing scriptures. So she didn't do anything physical work or anything, but she had a really serious heart condition. But she just listened to that healing scriptures over and over and over and over for those, I think it was 3 days before she went back to the doctor. And when she went back, he said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. Your heart is whole. But this is what she did. It became health or medicine to her flesh as she took in that word and listened and heard and let it just penetrate her life. This word is so powerful. It's called the word of his power. It's powerful. It is so, we think electricity is powerful. Oh my goodness. The power of God is huge. And it will change things in our bodies as we believe and we receive his precious word. Faith is really simply trusting in God. Just trust. I trust you, Lord. I trust your word. I know it's true. And I believe it. Trust. So, your biscuit. We're going to go back to your biscuit. So as you take it with confidence and possess it and say it's mine before it's in your hands, before you see anything change in your life, you're healing even before you see it change. And you just continue to say, thank you, Lord, for my biscuit. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thankfulness is so important to the Lord. Colossians 2:7 says we are to be rooted and built up in him, and that would be in the word, and established in the faith, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That abounding is a God word. Abundance, abounding, abounding in thanksgiving, abound in our faith needs to be very full and over the top, so to speak. We are thankful. When we are thankful, it encourages our faith. It's we are thankful for not only the word of God, but for all good things, because every good thing comes from him. If you get a habit of thankfulness, this is going to help you where your healing's concerned. Thank him for little things. Are you thankful you have air conditioning in this humid Conroe, Texas? Whew. I'm so thankful for air conditioning, because air conditioning keeps us, you know, fresh and able to survive in this heat. How people live down here without air conditioning, I don't know. It's humid. But be thankful for the little things. Thank the Lord. When we pray on Tuesdays, we pray for missionaries. We have folders that have missionary file, you know, things on the missionaries, pictures, and some people in some parts of the country don't have water, to clean water. They have to walk for miles to get water just to survive. And it'll make you really stop and think when you turn your water faucet on and there's water coming out and it's clean, and then you have hot water and then you can take a bath and be thankful. Let's be a thankful people. When we become that thankful, thanking him for healing is just going to be a part of it. You know, just get a habit of thankfulness, and that's pleasing to the Lord. A thankful people, oh my goodness. I mean, when my kids were growing up, and I thought, wait a minute, you just got blessed, and you're just going to remember to say thank you. That's a respectful thing, and that's the right thing. But thankfulness is important. I wanted to the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 107. It talks about different things to be thankful to him for. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Healing is the mercy of God. Thank the Lord for his mercy. That men would pray, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Healing is the goodness of the Lord to us. And his wonderful works, and there's all kinds of other things, but we're focusing on the healing part. And his wonderful works to the children of men. His wonderful works are healings are wonderful works. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Many long and hunger for healing, and he wants to satisfy that longing and hungering soul. He wants to satisfy you. If you have a longing to be well and whole and free, he wants to satisfy. But every healing provision that's found in the Word, we need to be thankful that it's available to us. And then verses 21 and 31 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." So let's just begin to develop a habit of thanksgiving. Verse 43 says, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and observing giving thanks, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." As we begin to be a thankful people, we will experience his loving kindness in a really consistent way, because we are connecting with him. In 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So our thanksgiving is really making an avenue, a way up, just to piercing the heavens, so to speak, and the blessings of God come upon us and just flood our lives. I know one minister says that thanksgiving connects us to our victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. So thanksgiving will connect you to your victory. Start thanking the Lord for your biscuit. Whether you see it or not, whether you received it at this point in your life or not, it's there for you, and God wants you to possess it. So I'm going to possess my biscuit. I'm going to possess my healing. That's my responsibility. God didn't make it hard. He doesn't make it hard for us. It's possible for us. We have to put forth effort, yes. We have to do our part, yes. But it is so worth it. The blessings of God are so he's wanting to pour them out so abundantly to us. But if you are, even just as I've shared tonight, if you feel like, okay, I'm ready to receive and possess that healing that's for me. And like I said, these scriptures that Derek has on this page, just get in there and say, "Lord, is there a specific one you want me to focus on and really, really get it so, you know, deep in my heart to where I just know that I know that I know that I know that it's mine and I can have this?" That will be your faith to take it and possess what God has provided for you on that table. But when you do receive, you keep the switch of faith turned on by thankfulness, keeping thanking him. The healing's working in me. The power of God is working in me. He is effecting a healing and a cure in me. He's mending me stitch by stitch. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. The possessing, I mean, we possess it with our faith, but the manifestation of the results of our faith is God's part. Don't try to work on that part. You just work on your part of thankfulness, receiving it and being so thankful that he provided healing for us. But you keep the switch of faith turned on, thanking him, keeping, just taking that stand, resisting fear, resisting doubt, resisting every negative thing, because you know that that's from the enemy, and we don't take that. No, we resist that. Love the word resist. It means to vigorously oppose, bravely resist, stand face to face against the adversary. Stand your ground. I don't care if it looks like, this is like, I wish I were there by now. No, you don't go there. You believe, you receive it, you take it, you possess it, you've got it. You've got it. Remember, the biscuit was passed down and he had laid claim to it, and he knew it was his, even though he didn't have it in his hand. The having it in your hand, so to speak, the symptoms leaving is God's part. Our part is staying in faith. Thank you, Lord. I believe. I believe. I'm so thankful that healing is working in me. I believe I've received. So I can say, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. Because Jesus accomplished it for me. I've taken it by my faith. And I stand. Having done all, stand. And I continue to stand for my freedom. Because it's yours. It belongs to you. But the scriptures, like I said, daily, daily, daily. Stay in them. Because it, as I shared at the very beginning of this little teaching out of Ecclesiastes 3, it's a time to heal. It's time to heal. God wants you well. He wants us all to walk in health and wholeness. And Jesus has made a way. And he's with us. He's helping us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's with us to see us through to the end. So, Father, thank you so much. Victory is ours. It belongs to us. You're a victory God. You love that word. I do too. I love victory because it shows the overcoming work of our great and mighty God, our wonderful physician. Thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for us. Thank you, precious Jesus, that you bore it all, every sickness, every disease, every infirmity. You carried it and lifted it off of us and carried it far away, and we are free. You see us free. You see what you have accomplished for us. You see it. Help us all to see it clearly. It's mine, and I take it by my faith. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.